You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Welcome to Breadline from the Australian Unemployed Workers Union on Community Radio 3CR.
So put down that job plan and listen to us.
Hello, welcome to Breadline once again on beautiful 3CR. Hi, this is Jessica speaking.
And this is Daryl.
Yeah, first of all, we'd like to acknowledge that this show comes to you from the Wurundjeri land of the Kulin Nation. Their sovereignty was never ceded, and we pay our respects to their elders past, present and emerging. So we're back.
Last week we had technical problems there, but we're back again today.
And we're full of go. And I was also sick last week, so anyway, now I'm back.
I hope you're feeling much better now, Jessica.
I am, certainly, yes.
Oh, great. That's great.
Yeah, and if you're tuning in for the first time to our show, so we are a national union of unemployed people and also people who are on various pensions, and we also run Monday to Friday hotline. So if any of you are listening who have problems about with your Centrelink claim, job service providers, etc., please ring our hotline, which is Monday to Friday from 10 till 2. And the number is 1-800-289-848.
Or you can go online to get on our website at auwu.org.au.
So how's your week been with working on the line this week, Daryl?
It's been a bit quiet lately.
Okay.
Don't get a lot of calls, so, you know, because a lot of people still don't know about us, but I tend to think we're doing a good job and people are starting to know their rights.
Well, certainly, Ayan, who helped us get going with the programming, she had heard of the union way back in the old days when there was a booklet, basically, you could get hold of, which would tell you your rights.
Oh, yeah, back in 2016 that book was brought out, if I remember rightly.
Yeah.
Yeah, but a lot's changed since then, so.
And we've got some, this show we're partly going to be talking about some press coverage that we had last week, so we're going to be talking about that in the next segment. It was good to see Jeremy from the union being quoted in The Guardian. Also, fairly soon we're hoping to have an interview with Paz from the Anti-Poverty Network in Adelaide. So that's all coming up. And, we're in the swing of things.
Yeah, so we've got a fun-filled
few weeks
show here tonight. Well, it's fun.
Yeah, it is.
Well, we got a show anyway.
And you've got to look on the positive side, considering people out there are being, being put through the mill by the job service providers. And as we found a couple of weeks ago when I visited a couple, some of them who work in the offices are quite well-meaning, but unfortunately they have that power to cut people's payments off, at basically the click of a mouse. And that's not the way it should be.
No, because they're, like we've heard many stories, people getting cut off for not attending appointments that they didn't even know about.
They didn't even know they existed and they've been cut off, yeah.
Yeah, it's incredible.
And because of our 24-hour cycle, you can be cut, you can have your payments halved in the middle of the night. You wake up, get the email, and that's what happened to one of our members not that long ago.
Yeah, well, you know, it must be like every time, you know, every fortnight you go to the bank and I know I do, and I'm wondering, gee, do I get paid this time or have I been cut off without being notified about it?
Yeah.
You know, that's what it's like living on unemployment at the moment. Yeah. And it's incredible when you compare from back in the 90s to now, you know, we've got a lot more rules. But the unemployment has to do a lot more hoops to jump through. They got to do this and they got to. So every time they renew this system, there's more rules and regulations. But it's always targeted towards the unemployed. When in reality, it's no holiday being on unemployment.
I was talking to a friend about it during the week and she said, well, I've just come back from being overseas and I decided I'm not going to even bother signing up. Because I've heard how much hassle there is.
Yeah.
And when I lived in the UK in the 80s, there was a funny old system where you had to turn up at exactly, say, 10:10, you had to sign in. And if you didn't turn up exactly on the dot of that, you didn't get paid. But at least, I suppose, you knew if you were going to get paid or not then.
Yeah.
Whereas here it's, yeah, it's very...
Yeah, now you don't. Yeah, all right.
So, yes, as I said earlier, we did have a bit of media coverage. It was when in The Guardian Australia on the 11th of August, and it's about one of the job service providers, APM. So what happened was a Victorian woman who did not want to be named claimed that the employment service provider, APM, asked her to sign paperwork confirming she had worked for 4 weeks when she'd actually spent months on sick leave. So APM have strongly denied any wrongdoing. They sent her an email on the 6th of May requesting she reply and confirm in writing she'd worked these 4 15-hour weeks. And the woman refused to sign the document, saying it was a complete concoction. And so, of course, as we have mentioned quite a few times on the show before, job providers receive this public funding. So basically, they receive their version of the dole. They get that from the government as soon as people enter paid employment. So they've got a real incentive to really push people to come up with a whole range of, you know, pay slips, as we've mentioned before, but other proof. So they bank a payment from the government if the person stays in a job for 4, 12 or 26 weeks. So that's when the pressure comes in.
Yeah.
And the payments that they get range from $240 for a partial 4-week outcome to $5,000 for a full 26-week outcome. So APM said they don't comment on specific cases, but they denied they'd done anything inappropriate.
And they still get that $5,000 even though the job seeker may have got the job himself.
That's right, yeah, or herself.
Without their assistance.
Now, providers such as APM are under increasing pressure from the regulators of this issue of harassing job seekers for payslips. So the Department of Employment, Workplace and Relations said it would look at where providers are reportedly asking clients for payslips and take action. But I don't think that's actually happened. After she didn't respond to the APM's email, the woman said she received a text message saying her payment was going to be suspended. And so, again, this is the same scenario we've been talking about on the show.
Yeah, yeah.
So also this article is interesting because it's got a former employment consultant who's just finished a 20-year career who told The Guardian that he'd seen this kind of scenario play out before. And he's quoted saying, "This is a fairly brutal system you work within. I had worked for an organisation with fairly stringent KPIs, and if you didn't meet them 2 weeks in a row, you'd have to do a performance review or be managed out of the organisation." So, of course, the pressure is on them to pressure the job seekers. And this is the whole problem of privatised job agencies and mutual obligations, which really are the way that they... That's the sort of meat that they use in a way to hassle people.
Yeah, so in other words, they're only here to make a profit.
Yeah.
And that's it.
This guy who's a former employee said that there was a focus on high-value customers, in quotes, who can net providers more money. And there was a strong encouragement from managers to push people into jobs, even if it might endanger their physical or mental well-being. And so there's a bit of a quote in this article from Jeremy Poxon from the union who said, "As we know that we hear from people every day who feel pressured, harassed and intimidated by job agencies." And they say that The Guardian Australia is aware of job seekers who claim they've been threatened with suspension. We know this already. And Jeremy said, "Fundamentally, this predatory behaviour is inbuilt into the outsourced system." And then there's a nice quote from the chief executive of Economic Justices Australia, Kate Allingham, saying that the government needs more oversight of the system.
Yeah, I sure do.
Well, that's, again, a little bit of an understatement, I think.
Yeah.
In our situation, we'd be calling for the complete abolition of mutual obligations.
And if this woman signed up with APM, if she did sign that contract saying that she did work, they were saying, "Oh, we'll pay for your next acupuncture for your back or something."
Yeah.
But later on down the track,
she'd get
the government would come after her saying, "You didn't declare these earnings. and then they've taken that out of her payment, so even though she didn't earn anything.
That's right. So someone's so really...
Where's the advantage?
They're really putting people in a completely unfair situation, and, you know, either way you turn. Yeah, as you said, if you either sign it or else don't sign it and get your payment suspended.
Incredible. It's incredible.
Yeah. Well, I suppose that's sort of why we're so happy to have this show on 3CR, because at least we can get these sort of situations out.
Yeah, reach out to more people and let them know that the Australian Unemployed Workers Union are here to help, which is our biggest problem. It's publicity. There's still a lot of people don't know about us.
I was on a Facebook page, which is Centrelink, Surviving on a Low Income, and there was someone there who'd had exactly the same problem where they were being pressured by the job service provider. And, of course, the people on the page were giving them masses of different bits of advice. And so, of course, I put on contact the union and ring the advice line.
Yeah.
But I think this guy just, he had triplets, so he had major responsibilities. And it's the kind of situation where you can't suddenly put that at risk of possibly not getting any payments.
Well, that's not what you want to see, you know, some guy, triplets, and his wife living out in the street or something.
Yeah, well, they were living in Noosa, so, yeah.
Yeah.
I can imagine the streets in Noosa wouldn't be very comfortable.
No.
You're listening to a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned to hear the rest of your 3CR podcast.
Right. Now I'd like to talk about one of the phone calls I get while I'm advocating for the union. Now, when I talk about a phone call or email about someone who has contacted the Australian Unemployed Workers Union, unless I get permission from them, I always change the name of persons and or places to protect the innocent and me from being sued.
Fair enough.
So, Mr. Oblong, okay, was looking for work, but he wasn't having a whole lot of luck. On his computer, he was checking all the job sites daily, plus walking around various job centres and industrial areas, handing out his resume. Normal thing to do. Then Mr. Oblong learnt that if he gets a job through his job provider called Ethical Job Placement, where their motto is, your loss is our profit, the employer may be eligible for a wage subsidy in the first 6 months of his employment through the federal government's employment incentive scheme. So, each time he had a job interview, Mr. Oblong would mention this, and it seemed to help because he could see the potential employer taking more interest in his CV. So, he would then go back to his job provider and give them the prospective employer's details. But after he did this a few times, he began wondering why he never hears anything back from his job provider about these positions. When he calls to follow them up about these positions, they would just give him some lame excuse like, oh, they're still working out details or they haven't heard back from the employer. Now, part of what job seekers do is cold call employers, offering them with wage subsidies if they employ someone through their services. So without realising, Mr. Oblong was doing their job for them. Now, for anyone that is unemployed knows that looking for a job can almost be a full-time job in itself. So after sending off his resume and lining up interviews, the job provider was taking this information from Mr. Oblong, getting into contact with the prospective employer, and then giving the job to someone else on their books. Needless to say, as soon as Mr. Oblong realised this, he stopped doing that. So he has now lost his advantage in obtaining employment due to this scummy job provider. Isn't that incredible? He does all this work, all the walking around, handing out resume left, right and centre, spending hours on the computer, going through all the job sites. You know, he gets a bite, tells the job provider, and then they go and give the job to someone else and not him.
Surely that can't be. It makes you think that the way to do it is to keep it secret. But, of course, if you've got, you know, a possibility, But of course, you have to provide details of all the jobs that you've gone for. That's part of your mutual obligations.
But these jobs, you know, Mr. Oblong was getting applying for these jobs without the job provider, like he was doing on his own. And any one of them that showed interest in this government subsidised scheme, he would tell the job provider, expecting them to talk to him and then put him forward for the job. Yeah. But instead, they were giving the jobs to other people.
Yeah.
So, incredible.
where's the justice in that?
Yeah. And then they turn to him and say, well, why haven't you got a job yet?
Oh, sorry, we've given it to someone else. Now, something that's stirring me up, Darryl, is the whole situation that's happening in Melbourne but may easily happen also in regional areas, which is the sell-off of public housing.
Mm.
And as we know, people surviving on very low incomes, that whole thing of having rent control, you know, public housing is fixed at 25% of your income. Mm. So that is a huge relief. So the current Victorian government's plan is to actually displace more than 10,000 households from the towers, which have been that amazing relief for people, public housing right in your face if you're somewhere like Collingwood, Fitzroy, etc. So this is this whole privatisation by stealth. Of course, the real estate agents and the property sellers are drooling at these sites because they're such high value.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's,
and how many people are we talking about?
10,000 is quoted today in the papers. But
right.
What they're doing is they're promoting it by saying that there'll be equivalent places built elsewhere, but we know very well that this is sort of privatisation by stealth, and a lot of those won't be the controlled rents, 25% of your income. They will be linked to market rents, so they won't give people that sort of security.
Well, that's just not affordable when you're getting payments from the government.
We've got a supporter of Breadline who's going to be going out and interviewing some of those people who are under threat of being displaced from the towers. So we're looking forward to hearing those. They're going to be sort of pre-recorded interviews, sort of in the comfort of their their homes for now, before anything terrible happens. So,
Where do they think they're going to put them, you know? Apart from the cost of renting privately, there's just not a lot of places available at the moment.
Well, yeah, it's an understatement. I mean,
and already a lot of people are sharing houses with people they don't really want to be living with.
Or don't know, for that matter. In my area, Wonthaggi, we have the same sort of pressures going on. We have a renters' rights session once a month at the community house, and I was there helping out. A woman had gone from 125 a week to 300 a week. That's what they were expecting. So we've got a lawyer from the Community Legal Service who comes along to give people advice. And so now that person's got to start this whole rigmarole of filling in a form and saying reasons why she shouldn't have to pay that rent. But, it's outrageous. And it was Homelessness Week a couple of weeks ago. People I know from the Rental and Housing Union did an occupation of the strip in St George's Road, and that sounded like looked like that was really successful. But God, do those towers have to be occupied before that stop? This whole silly, stupid idea is stopped.
Yeah, I know. If I was paying private rent, I could probably afford my place if I was paying private rent, but I'd have to survive without electricity or gas.
Or maybe food,
I'd be going around, do the rounds of all the charity organisations just to get something to eat. But,
well, that's right, and that's what people have to do in Wonthaggi too. We're almost at the end of our show tonight.
Yeah, it's gone quick, hasn't it?
Yeah. We'll remind you of that of the number.
Australian Unemployed Workers Union, 1-800-289-848, or online at auww.org.au.
And we also have this app, which we have to remind people about, which is if you are having trouble with a particular job service provider, you can actually record that problem you're having, and then that helps us gather stats about which job service providers are actually behaving themselves or otherwise.
Yeah, exactly. Hang on a minute.
Have you got a call?
Hello? No, I'm not giving you my pay slips. Oh, damn cheek of them.
Oh, ring you in the middle of the radio show.
Ah, oh, always happens. Every week. Anyway.
They know that you're in one place, so yeah, they know where to get you.
Yeah. Well, I've been, and yet, oh, I'm trying to ring Centrelink too. Well, I rang Centrelink about 9 o'clock this morning. I'm still waiting for it. Let's see if they've answered my call yet. No, still on hold.
Oh, dear.
Incredible. All right, well.
Okay, talk to you next week.
Oh, thanks for joining us, and bye for now.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.